Fred Film Radio, Festival du Cannes, France.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 75th Festival di Cannes. I'm in company of Mikko Millati, director of the Book Chapter Story screening in competition in the Semaine de la Critique.
So I'm going to start obviously with some introductory questions, but I was, as I told you, I was reading some reviews and then I found this definition, deadpan philosophical fable. Yes. So how would you describe the film, and do you agree with this?
Yes, I think to me the film is, it's important that it's philosophical, but at the same time it's comical. So I think it's like a dark existential comedy, because it goes into this almost like horror-like atmospheres at some point, but at the same time some, there's things that are almost like quite stupid and naive. So I think that's it's something that fascinates me as a human being and also as a filmmaker. That, and I think it has a lot to do with where I come from the north of Finland, which things are not the same as they are here in Cannes, for example.
Can you like walk us through the process that led you to decide that this, let's say, half full glass story could be the perfect directorial debut for you?
Well, that I don't know. Would it be the perfect? But it's the one I made now. But I think it was just because I have always been myself. I have been very optimistic for some reason. I really don't know why. Maybe I was born like that. And maybe, I don't know, is it something that is in the north of Finland in general? But on the other hand, I don't really feel that. I mean, we can be very laconic and sometimes pessimistic also. But I have been always like that. I always think that things will turn out, that there is hope. I don't know if they turn out good, but there will be hope. So I wanted to explore this kind of theme in my story. And I actually met this real woodcutter, because it came to my house, because I live in the countryside, not in Helsinki. And there was a tree in my yard. I wanted to cut it down, but it was blocking the daylight, so it was bothering. But I first thought that I'm going to do it myself, but because I'm a poet, so it would have fallen on the top of the house and my house would be ruined. So I called this actual woodcutter. And then I met this man came, and he was really strange. He was like a really small man with a very kind face. And he was so optimistic, and he had like some hardships in his life. And he has basically lost everything, but he was still very happy. And I was like, who is this? Like, why is he like this? And it was just an inspiration. I really didn't know him that well. But he was also from the north. So that made me think. And I started to have this almost like a fable in my head about this really kind man who is put into test, and there was like a sadistic urge of me as a writer to kind of really see if I can break him.
I'd say that maybe because you're a script writer first and then director, that the script is very unpredictable. But I was wondering, how did you find a balance between what was, let's say, essential for the plot to carry on the film and you know, the other scenes or some like sub stories that were funny, entertaining, but not necessarily necessary for the film?
Yes, I think that's a very important thing to kind of understand if there are people who are going to see the film, and because it has these poetic elements, and it means that not always everything is there is not always the causality, that something, there is one thing and it leads to another, which is usually how you do plot and you tell story. But because in my film it's very important that there are these side characters, because I have a main protagonist who is somebody who always seems to be the same no matter what happens. He has this pattern, but so the others, they reflect this humanity in a different way. There is this one who really destroys himself by killing the barber and then hitting the truck because he's so jealous and everything. So it's a tragedy. And then there are the women, which I really like them, because they just say that, okay, we're just gonna leave because they ruined everything. And so that's their solution. And then there's this one guy who's working at the sawmill and then at the mine, and he's always thinking like there has to be some kind of other reason in life. This cannot be this. And he's searching for something. And then he founds it from the chapel in the film. But so that's important that they are there. But I think the key thing, what we talked with the main actor, is that even though it has this craziness and this poetic, but there is, it's a story of a father and a son. And that's very important. That's something that it stays in the up until the end. Because basically he's losing everything, but it's about him and the son. And that's like the emotional core for me.
could we say that also the film is somehow suggests that how we should face the adversities life throws at us?
I think so. I mean, for me, it was like that when I was writing and making the film. I think for me, it's very touching. I mean, this ability to, because I think optimism is different thing than hope. Because optimism can be stupid if it's like everything is going to collapse on you, but I still think that things are going to be good. But I think hope is something that, even though I really don't know, we are living in uncertainty. Perhaps everything is going to be really bad. But I still keep something inside me, and this is hope. So that's very touching for me, and I think it's something that we need in nowadays. I mean, this is just my humble little story I want to give to the people, but I mean, I don't have any solution for that, but that's very important for me.
One last thing, you had the premiere of your film, and sometimes, you know, after Q&A or reading the reviews, you learned that somebody got something out of your film that you... didn't even think about. So did that happen? Did you find out that people got something out of your film that you didn't necessarily think about, or, you know, the reactions?
Yes, definitely. I mean, because it is it has this openness like poetry can have. I mean, even though I hope that there is still a story, but I don't want to scare everybody. So because when we had the premiere here Thursday, and that was actually the first time I saw it with audience, because it just finished the film, so we really didn't have time to watch it with audience. And people were laughing also. I liked that they were laughing, because it's supposed to be funny at some point. But they were also laughing at some things that I really didn't expect, and that kind of gave me the idea that, okay, there is more to than what I think, and that's always a good thing, I think, in films.
So what do you expect from this experience so far?
Well, I'm just so happy that I get to present the film here. I mean, I'm so honored to be here. But I don't know. I mean, I think this kind of, for me, it was really important also in that sense that it was not the easiest film to fund, and it's my first film. So this kind of, maybe this gives confidence for like here us in Finland that it's okay, we can do something like it doesn't have to be so calculated all the time. And I think it's every art in a way, it's like a proposition. This is my proposition. I just want to give it to you. It's okay if you think something differently. I don't understand everything, but it's my proposition, and it's so nice to share this, and I'm really happy to talk about the film also.
Thank you so much, and good luck.
In
bocca al lupo.
Thank you.
And we've been talking to Mikko Millilati, director of the Woodcutter Story, screening in the Semelle de la Critique in competition at the 75th Festival de Cannes. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.